and welcome to Frank Film Club. I'm Maisie Williams and I'm an actor and producer.
I'm Lowry Roberts and I'm a producer and filmmaker.
I'm Hannah Marie Williams and I'm a casting director.
And welcome to our club.
Hey everyone, I just wanted to start this episode by saying a massive thank you to Everyman Cinemas for hosting us for this bonus episode of Frank Film Club. We are here in Bristol for a special preview screening of Challengers, and this is what went down. Make sure you go and watch Challengers starring Zendaya, Josh O'Connor and Mike Feist out tomorrow, Friday the 26th of April. Bye-bye!
Welcome back to Frank Film Club. I'm Maisie Williams and today we're going to be talking about the wonderful Luca Guadagnino film Challengers. And it's a very special episode today because we are here at Everyman Bristol with a live audience. And this is the first time we've ever done this. So audience, say hello.
Hello.
And thank you so much for joining us. So we've all just sat and watched this movie for the first time. And I'm so excited to speak with you both about it and also hear from our audience what you thought of this movie too. Just to give you a little outline if you are listening to this and you've not watched the movie. Tashi, a former tennis player turned coach, is married to a champion on a losing streak. Her strategy for her husband's redemption takes a surprising turn when he must face off against his former best friend and Tashi's former boyfriend. This movie was supposed to come out last year, but due to the strikes, etc., it was delayed, and it is out now. It's in cinemas currently, so you should go and watch it if you haven't already. It was written by Justin Kuritsky's, and it was directed, as I said, by Luca Guadagnino. It's starring Zendaya as Tashi Duncan, Josh O'Connor as Patrick Zweig, and Mike Feist as Art Donaldson. In this episode, we're going to be chatting about love triangles, the really interesting score, which hit me straight away. But it also is just so punchy, so fun, so upbeat, so captivating that I feel like it's a really perfect movie for us to just like react to straight away. Because, I mean, immediately at the back of the room, we were just like chatting amongst ourselves. I don't know about you guys, like how you felt, but it's one of those ones that's like kind of heart racing. And also we're going to hear from our audience for their live reactions to this film. But first of all, I want to know, both of you, what were your initial thoughts on the movie?
Oh, that's a big question. It was juicy and I really liked it. I was worried to be chatting about a film immediately after just watching it for the first time, but it was a success in my mind.
Yeah, fun too.
It doesn't end on a lull, which was obviously a little bit concerning that we were going to keep you here really late and then talk about a film for however long. But it's really thrilling. I was worried that I wasn't going to be as interested in it because I'm not super interested in like films that are centered around sports. Mm-hmm. And I did not know what love meant and if people were out or what that meant. But I still, it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. The rest of it is, yeah, absolutely. I was buzzing when it finished. Yeah, I'm interested what you think about the ending. Maybe we get to that in a sec, but
we'll get there. The first thing I want to speak about, which when I first watched the movie was just so painfully like obvious to me and I couldn't stop focusing on, was the really obvious use of branding on the clothing. I don't know if you guys noticed this. Uniqlo popping up everywhere. And like, I get it, it's a sports movie. Branding is everywhere we go, and especially in sports. But there's something about it that really threw me when I first watched it. Didn't mind so much on the second watch. I've gotten over it now. But did you guys notice that? Like, and did you find it distracting, or did you just think, you know, it's kind of fun?
I'm so intrigued about branding in films and TV shows. Like, if you watch an Apple TV show and there's like Apple stuff everywhere, like that maybe is a bit more of an obvious example, but I would love to know like how that's factored into a budget. Like, how do you get a brand on board to like part finance your film even? Because it's probably quite lucrative, right? I don't know.
Yeah. I'm sure it's really lucrative. I don't know what you know about this, but the only time I've ever seen it is when there's been a brand logo on something that they want to wear on camera, and then they've been like, we have to get rid of it, we're not allowed to use it, we don't have the rights.
But then you can make it,
you could probably
the other
make a lot
way
of money. Yeah.
Like, you could do it so that you're like, we're making this big film. Like, I assume that's what would have happened in this film, because it's a pretty big film. Mm. That they would go out and be like, we're doing a sports film, would you call it a sports film? I feel like that's...
It's
like,
not really. It's a love triangle, but...
Yeah. We're doing this film. There's a sport in it.
And Zendaya.
And Zendaya. So. Do you want your brand in it? And they'd probably be like, yeah. And then they'd put in loads of money, I think. So I think it can work both ways. But on the like small things that we're used to, it's like, cover up the brand.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like... In other projects, in other films where there's like quite obvious branding, it annoys me maybe sometimes. It feels like a little bit crass.
Yeah.
But for this, it doesn't. It's no? like, yeah, I don't know. It didn't bother me.
What about Dunkin' Donuts?
That was yeah. the bit that did stand out to me because I was like, oh yeah, sports. Woo, woo, woo. Dunkin' Donuts?
Yeah, I was like, come yeah, on now. Yeah, yeah.
They're grounding us.
Yeah.
Mm. It's good.
But I'm glad you didn't find it too distracting. I do think it works for this type of film and it just like, you know, Wilson, like obviously, you know, it's all there. So, okay, great. I'll get over it. Move on. So, yeah, this, you know, immediately feels like it's going to be a sports movie. And like there's, you know, I've been researching this film and there's so little about the plot out there before the movie came out. And I think that the massive reveal to me, at least, was like this incredible love triangle at the center of it. Had you realized that that was going to be the heart beating heart of the movie?
Well, so this is making sense now that this was meant to come out last year because I feel like I saw a trailer in the cinema ages ago.
Ah, there we go.
Would that have been a thing?
Definitely, because yeah, I think it got pulled during the strike, so
okay,
I think
right,
we were ready.
That makes sense, because this yeah this is I feel like I've known about the film for ages, and we spoke about Don't Worry Darling before, and the trailer being like super sexy and then the film not being centered around sex at all. Mm-hmm. And I felt like maybe that might have been something that they had done with the trailer for this, because they do use that like threesome scene in the trailer, but it was as sexy, if not more sexy than the trailer, this one. So yeah, I did sort of know that it was about a love triangle, and I'm glad that it was a lot more, it flip-flopped maybe too many times than I would have liked, maybe. I don't know.
Interesting. Yeah. You found it to be a little bit repetitive.
Yeah, just oh, like a tennis match, though. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. Like me tonight.
Yeah.
What did you think?
Well, similar. No, yeah, I feel like just by the... I guess I kind of also did feel a little bit like that. I was like, okay, we kind of know what Josh O'Connor... Wait, what's his character name? Patrick is like up to again all the time. But then by the end, when... Sorry to jump to the ending, but when it was that back and forth and it's like the crazy camera moves and I was like, whoa, I don't know how I feel about this. And I was like, oh no, we're like fully in the game. And then I felt like I got it, that it's like it was a tennis match and that's like the point maybe of yeah. The mirror of the relationships.
I really, on this second watch, I really feel like Tashi doesn't ever really love either of them as much as she loves tennis.
Mm. No.
And herself, potentially. Yeah. Thoughts?
Well, I was trying to figure out who she has the strongest connection with, but I think she gets different things from both of them, mm-hmm. as happens in relationships. but no, I think she just wants to win. I think she just wants to be a winner. And yeah, that's how she knows how to do it.
Interestingly, this movie was written by Justin... I'm going to ruin his name.
I can already tell that Lowry loves this fact, because she just...
I think this is such a good
spell.
Fact. Well, I can't say his name either. So
his name is Justin.
The writer of this
Karitsky's
film. Him.
Justin Karitsky.
Is married to Celine Song, who wrote and directed Past Lives, another love triangle film.
But how brilliant.
People seen Past I've Lives?
Have you seen Past Lives?
I think that's such a fun fact.
That's a great love triangle film. So she was involved in a love triangle with her husband,
yeah.
then wrote a film about it,
yeah.
and then her husband wrote a film about a love triangle with some tennis players.
And
yes.
It, yeah.
And yes.
Great.
And they choose the tennis players choose each other at the end.
I don't know.
What does it mean?
The plot thickens. I don't know. We have to pull Justin up on this. Is this as true as Past Lives? Tell us. Anyway, love that.
Yeah.
Stir the rumor pot. Okay, so speaking of just like how stylized this movie is, it's like a simple story in lots of ways, but the way that it's shot is like pretty heart racing. I think like from the word go, when we have that insane techno beat, like as we push across the court. When I first watched the film, I was like, I don't know if I can get into this, but I did get into it. Now I really, really love it. But there were so many different, amazing moments, the incredible shots of like, you know, building the tension at the end with the tennis match. Like, it's something that could be done in quite a like mind-numbingly boring way, and it wasn't. Mm. Is there any like special mentions of bits that you loved particularly, or?
No, well, I just did love that, the doof, doof, doof music, that type. I really, really enjoyed it throughout. But there was some other music in other various bits that I was like, I found that distracting.
Yeah.
There was like some piano at some point, and I was like, whoa.
Yeah, what did we think on the piano parts?
Can we, yeah, a few it, thumbs down.
Lots of thumbs
but
down.
But the doof, doof, doof.
Yeah, doof, doof, doof. Very
yeah,
good.
It was good.
Are you talking about when they're sat by the sea?
Yes, that was the
same.
Exact one. Yeah,
I wasn't keen on that part.
Yeah, but then they call back to it again when the two of them are in the. But you can do that with any piece of music.
Well, that's what I was thinking throughout. I was like, God, I would love to see this film with like so many different versions of different music throughout, because I feel like it would be such a different film.
Yeah,
it would be such a fun exercise.
You know the song that was almost like a school nursery rhyme that happens like when they're out in the wind at the end and the red car lights and she spins around. Thoughts on that part?
I actually can't remember the music.
Oh, it's like,
oh, it was
bizarre choice, yeah. But like I love it.
And like schoolboy choir.
Yeah,
no,
oh, yeah,
I was
yeah,
thinking
yeah, yeah,
kind
exactly.
of like religious at foot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I was into it.
Great.
Now I remember it, yeah.
I don't know about that actually.
Really?
I feel like I maybe need to watch it again. I feel like that whole sequence was a little bit overdone for me.
It felt like a superhero moment, and yeah. I don't know. I just loved it. I don't know. Zendaya in a fuck ass barb, like I don't know, it's kind of
but
fun.
What
no?
do you think it means though for it to be like this epic moment which feels like a superhero sequence with like this orchestral music? Like, what does that mean for them and their relationship?
I don't know, it's just like it's chaotic. An affair. It's like it's the worst thing that could ever happen.
But thrilling at the same
thrilling
time.
And
yeah,
like it's a superhero movie.
I think I need to rewatch it just for that moment and like where it sits in there.
So Luca Guadagnino, he's given us so many wonderful pictures at this point, and this does not disappoint. I haven't seen all of his movies. I've seen like the ones that most people have seen. But I really want to try and like nail in like what do we think his like secret sources, like what do we see time and time again? What feels really familiar about this movie from shots we've seen before? Like, what's his thing, you know?
So I feel like when I was, so he called me by your name, Suspiria, the remake.
Bones and All.
Bones and all.
Which we have a podcast episode on if you haven't listened to it, you should.
This is just all marketing. And what else? Bigger Splash.
Yeah.
Those are the big ones, I think.
Yeah,
I feel like actually I might regret saying this, I feel like Call Me By Your Name is a bit of an outlier, because all of the other ones feel a little bit like high concept. Like Bones and All is like genre.
Mm-hmm.
This is high octane, thrilling, like high stakes situation. Call Me By Your Name feels like slower and more romantic and more like
grounded.
Mm. So I've not answered your question, but I don't know.
Yeah.
I feel like he does love well.
Yeah, like
chemistry.
Does. And quite like complex relationships.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like he gets that, can like get under people's
skin.
Yeah, and like psyche.
Mm.
Mm. But I also haven't seen enough of his films to be able to critique that very well.
Maybe it's a nice opportunity for us to open up to our audience. Okay, so we want to do one little thing with our audience here. First initial reactions, you're allowed to do one single clap in one of these three categories, and then we'll decide amongst us whether we thought that this was a resounding success of a movie for us. So if you are undecided how you feel about the movie, clap once now. Okay, there we go. I think I heard three or four.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you liked the movie, clap once now. And if you didn't like the movie, clap once now.
Ooh,
okay.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Skewing slightly more positive.
Definitely.
That's great.
I'd say way more positive.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Can I ask everyone, if you're going to watch this film again, clap once now.
Fantastic. We have a roaming mic, so if you'd like to raise your hand, there's one at the back there. Yeah.
Hello.
Hi.
I actually had, a comment. So the scene which you were talking about, the kind of the cheating scene with Zendaya and the two of them. And I don't know if it's something you notice, but I notice is there's that massive photo of the ad of the two of them, Zendaya and her husband. Mm-hmm. I'm forgetting the name.
Art and Tashi.
Yes, they're massive, like I think it was like a car ad. Mm-hmm. And when they have that scene in the car park, you can see like blood in the background, he's just staring at them, and I was just watching it, it was like in the corner of the screen, like he's almost like looking at this whole, you know, deal go down. And I was just wondering what your thoughts would be, is like, do you think why, obviously that was done on purpose, I think, but like why maybe they chose to do that and have him almost like involved in this.
Yeah, well, I guess he kind of, it seemed like he knew more than they thought that they knew the whole way through, because he saw them disappear at the hotel. So maybe it was just like alluding to that a bit more, like he knows. Mm. Oh my God, I felt so bad for him.
I know, and then she comes home and he's like in bed with their daughter. So like he knows that she was not in bed at some point that night.
Yeah. I feel like they're all intertwined. So it's like they're always watching what the others are up to anyway. And that's just like a literal, maybe that's just like a literal vision of that.
Yeah, it's like also like she has this whole life that's like perfect and plastered across the wall of like even the most random like towns in America, you know, and yet she's there like staring at this other guy, Patrick, you know. It's kind of like builds that kind of like, yeah, kind of squashes her into like this empire that she's built where she's like tiny next to it too, which is kind of interesting. But yeah, I love that. I love the like the story of that. Like even at the beginning, do you notice that she like is making notes on like a little printout of it and like wants it to be like, yeah, the timeline of the billboard. Are there any other parts of the movie that you guys had thoughts or comments on that you'd like to raise in the room?
Yeah.
Hiya. I was just wondering what your thoughts on how they set up the time like phrase of it, because obviously they went back and forward and back more and then forward more, and I wondered what you thought about that.
Yeah, this was something that I wanted to bring up as well, because I found we never lingered, this is my own opinion, but I never felt like we lingered in a time frame for too long where I'm like missing another part of the movie. Like it felt like it flowed really, really naturally and I didn't get lost at all. And I think that really helps when they have like very easily distinguishable hair changes and like, but I do think it's a real testament to the actors. What did we watch recently? Maestro. Lots of, you know, questions about that movie in general, but what I will say is that Bradley Cooper does an excellent job of portraying 40 years of life, and I feel like these actors did the same. And I think it's like heavily, you know, propelled by hair and makeup and so on and so forth. But I found it super easy to follow, and I don't often in movies like that when it's not... I mean, there's lots of things written up on the screen as well, but, like, don't ask me to do two things at once. So, yeah, I really liked it, and I thought that was, like, one of the strongest parts of the films, and I never once got stuck thinking, like, can we get back to the main story now? Like, I just was loving everything I was learning. What did you two think?
Yeah, I also thought it flowed really well. There was one point where I think I got a bit mixed up, and then I quickly saw some long, curly hair. And it was like back.
Or another one we recently watched, Naiads. The flashback sequences in Naiads, we were like not into at all.
Yeah, you just want to get back.
Yeah, but I find when there's like multiple timelines, I find it really disorientating, and I didn't feel like that with this at all.
What about you?
Yeah,
I liked it, to be honest. I thought it went back and forth really well. Mm-hmm. And definitely the hair did help a lot. Yeah. But yeah, I really enjoyed it. And because I'd not seen the director's films before where he's done many time cuts. Mm-hmm. So I thought it flowed very well.
Yeah. Yeah. I also think Zendaya, just full stop. But I think you can age her up and age her down really, really well.
Absolutely, yeah.
She's
timeless.
Yeah, totally.
Okay, so before we started this podcast episode, we asked you to have a little think if on some one to two sentence letterboxed reviews, if you were to go and add this to your letterbox. I wonder if anyone has come up with any.
I wrote two. So the first one was the sexiest Adidas advert I've ever seen. Because it felt like an advert, the whole, but I liked it. And the second one was techno music and balls flying in your face.
Yes.
Yeah. The best kind of
it made me jump so many times. Yeah. The balls. It was great.
Hannah, I feel like that was one of your initial questions. How did they not hit the camera with the balls?
Yeah, movie magic.
Yeah.
And how did they not hit the camera with the balls?
Well, I wasn't there, but I'm going to go ahead and say they had a really good aim. No, I'm joking. I think it was CGI. Right. Well, obviously, right? Right.
Yeah.
The ball was moving weird.
I don't know. Sorry to be like so... But who won, though, like at the end?
Well, but they... Oh, well, they...
Did
someone say the romance one?
The bromance.
Yeah. Oh, the bromance one.
Because he would have got a foul, right? Well, I know in the actual game, I know that that was a foul, but so I don't know who like actually wins the game. I think it's probably Patrick. But the point is that they choose each other.
Oh. Love wins. By the end, yeah. Are they? Is everyone friends? Like interpretation of that? Everyone happy families?
Or maybe they. Leave her.
Yeah, I think that they choose each other.
And she's like, yes, because I didn't want you anyway.
Exactly.
I just want to play tennis.
I just wanted to see a good game of tennis. Thank she God, did,
yeah.
Finally.
Okay.
Yeah.
Everyone got what they want.
Nice.
Yeah.
Congrats. Love that.
Right? Any other thoughts on like the ending of the movie?
I had a question. Well, what are your thoughts on it? Because there's a disagreement in our group. It's quite a reductive way of looking at it, but who do you think's the bad guy in the movie? Mm. Or maybe, if that's too hard, maybe who's the worst?
The worst guy.
Out of all three of them.
Surely it's between Patrick and Tashi. But I feel like the... I don't know, that's tough.
Who's the worst?
Although Art was bad at first. Because they were together at first, so maybe he's the bad guy.
He tried to like split
them up. Because he started it. Yeah.
And then he like didn't even want to be like... the best in the world. Like, come on. Like, what are you doing trying to get Tashi? And then, like, not actually want to be the best in the world? Like, ugh. Gross. Sick. Yeah, kind of. Like, she's just wasted her whole life on you. Like, you know? You should have wanted tennis more.
Yeah. Who do you think?
I've just convinced myself. I think, yeah. I mean, I'm not... Yeah, I don't know.
I don't actually think it was Art. I'm going to go with one of the other two. Who do you think I'm going to go with?
Well, I'm just I'm doing a bit of a tennis match in my mind because they I was like, well, Tashi's hurt both of them, but they've both hurt both of them. Both of them have hurt the other two in different ways.
She said she didn't want to be a homewrecker.
She is one.
They all are. Yeah.
Yeah. They're awful. They're all awful.
They're horrible people.
Who do you think is the worst or the bad guy?
I just think, I even though I asked the question, it's not the point of the movie, but I don't know. I think, yeah, I think I agree with Lowry that it's either Tashi or Krieg, because I feel like even though Art was... I think Art was just like along for the ride, like was being was being like influenced heavily by Zendaya's character a lot and was sort of going along a lot with what she wanted. I don't know. I need to think about it more.
No, I agree, because I felt by the end I was like, oh, I feel like Art is actually now playing this game for him rather than for Zendaya. Mm. Tashi. She's always Zendaya. Yeah.
Okay, yeah, fair enough. Maybe there are no good guys and there are no bad guys. Maybe they're all layered, like us.
Does someone over here have a thought as well?
Yeah, yes, thoughts please. On the ending. What did it mean?
I'm curious to know what you think. I feel like throughout the movie, it's all about the control that like Zendaya's character has over both of them from the beginning, in their relationships and in their career. Like, she literally coaches Art. And I feel like it's rare that we see a movie where there's a power dynamic from a female, and never mind if it's like a sports movie about two sportsmen, them being like fully in her control. So I'm wondering what you guys think of that.
Yeah, I really like Tashi as a character. I think she's really interesting, and it's been from like a couple of things that I've seen of Zendaya answering questions about her. I think that she was like just somewhat intimidated by how powerful she was and like how she kind of wields that, which I think is so interesting, because like, I don't know, when we see male characters like this quite often, but like all of a sudden when it's a woman, it feels kind of dangerous and it feels kind of scary and it feels like, oh god, is this like bad feminist or something, like, you know. But I don't know, I really loved her character, and I think that she's like so flawed, but I think that she is as honest as she can be about what she wants, like at every moment. And it's not nice, it's not sweet, but like she shouldn't have to be, you know. So I really like her, but I feel like, yeah, you know, there's something about her that's like doesn't like, you know, doesn't sit comfortably. Like, I don't know how you feel about that, but yeah, she's not like, you know, I don't know. She's the most palatable, but that's like, yeah, the problem maybe.
Yeah, exactly. We're so used to seeing characters and also women, you know, wanting to please other people. Like that line, Art says, he doesn't love you. And she's like, well, what makes you think that I want him to love me? It's like, yeah. She doesn't want what people think that she should want as a woman or as a female sports player. And I think that's really powerful. I mean, this role is like such a dream.
Yeah.
Like it's a real actor's role, and it's got to be really to attract someone like Zendaya. So I think she does this so well. Josh O'Connor and Mike Feist like are incredible, but I can't help but like just be staring at her the whole time. She's just completely mesmerizing.
Yeah, she's unbelievable. She produced the movie.
Yeah.
She said, this is what I want to do. It's amazing.
Completely.
Hi, yeah. I disagree that there were no good characters, because I thought the real hero of the film was Tashi's mother, who just spends loads of time in hotels looking after her granddaughter, which we never see the father even speak to, let alone show any interest in. And the mother, to be honest, doesn't spend much time with her daughter. She just palms her off with Spider-Man films, which hopefully weren't the ones with Zendaya in, because that will really confuse the kid. But the kind of vaguely serious point I'm making is that it was a film all about this kind of threesome. We barely saw any other characters. There was the occasional umpire and hotel receptionist. But do you think that was a deliberate choice, or did that just happen because the actors and the characters were so strong that the others were gradually written out of the film?
That was a very strong point. I feel like surely that was deliberate, and it's so effective as well that it is like mainly them. Yeah, I'm trying. There aren't really any other characters, aren't there? Well, not like named characters apart from Mum, bless her. Yeah, yeah. Oh, and Helen that he went on a date with.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
She had a nightmare.
Poor girl.
Anna.
Yeah. I feel like that it's also egotistical, like what is happening between the three of them in a lot of ways, that they're all so wrapped up in each other they can't like see anybody else outside of that cast, but love that we're giving props to the nans out there. Somebody's got to say it.
We have one final in the middle.
Can I just follow up on, we've talked about love, but I think that film had nothing to do with love the whole way through, which I thought was interesting compared to, say, Call Me By Your Name, where that really is about, like, it's got all of the normal kind of lust elements to it. But I thought it was quite striking that moment when Art goes to bed with his kid is the only real touching moment in the film. The rest of it is about Tashi's obsession with and love of tennis. And I think the only way she gets love is by using those two as a kind of like vehicle to it, really. So I thought it was interesting. It's all about kind of competition, but it's all about her control and her getting what she wants.
Yeah, so I love that take.
I also thought there was too much sweat.
Too much.
So I much thought sweat. I noticed it was just dripping.
it was incredible.
That's really interesting, though, because I would say that Art did love Tashi, but I agree that there wasn't love from the other two. But I would say that Art had love, and for his daughter, obviously.
Bless yeah, I kind of feel the same way. I think he loved Tashi as a concept. I don't think he loved Tashi. I didn't see much tenderness. Yeah. Like, she was like, even where they're in the hotel room and he's like, I fall asleep. You know, she's looking after him. Like, she's his coach and she's his carer and she's his, you know, she's got like the power completely in that relationship. Yeah. And I don't know. Maybe
a rewatch. What about like Art and Patrick when they were younger for each other? Any love there? I feel like slightly, right?
Yeah.
Definitely worth a rewatch.
Yeah. It's so good to hear all your takes. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you so much to you all for chiming in on this conversation. We really, really love it.
And we have, we're in the aftermath of a very special day today because it was Maisie's birthday yesterday. So we've got a little cake.
No.
Yeah, we do.
Happy birthday.
Oh, my goodness, you guys. That's so kind. Thank you. We'll cut it up very small. Tiny little piece. One fingerful each. That's all. Okay, so to wrap up this episode, I'm going to just chat a little bit about what Luca Guadagnino's got going on next, because he's a busy, busy man. He's directing a Lord of the Flies remake.
Yes.
Clap if we're excited. He has a movie called Burial Rites, which is starring Jennifer Lawrence. Exciting. Clap if we're excited. There's another film that he's got going on called Queer with Daniel Craig. Bond. That's what he's doing now. And Jason Schwartzman. Clap if we're excited. And then also, you know, this rumored Call Me By Your Name sequel that who knows where that's going to go. Maybe just Timothée Chalamet. Anyway, to wrap it up, thank you for my cake. What are your final thoughts on the movie? Will you watch it again? What did you think?
Final thoughts, I really enjoyed it. I think I need a break from it before I watch it again, but I will rewatch maybe next year. I will schedule some time in. Mm-hmm. But I loved it way more than I thought I was going to. And I already had high expectations, to be honest. So, and it was great to watch it with you all. So thank you so much for coming along.
Yeah, no, I'd agree. I will definitely rewatch this. I don't think I need that much of a break because I feel like the music really pulls you through. So I'm not the only pulling through. That sounded bad. Anyway, I loved it. So thanks.
Thank you, Luca. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. If you are interested in our podcast, then you can follow us on TikTok and Instagram at Frank Film Club. You can email us and get in touch about this episode or any of our other episodes, which is filmclub@rap.world. And if you're watching on YouTube, then like and subscribe. And if you're listening on any of your podcast platforms, then make sure you give us a follow so you get a notification every week when we upload new episodes. Thank you so much for joining us. Can you all make a little cheer? And we'll see you back here on Wednesday for more Frank Film Club. Bye-bye.
This podcast was presented by Wrapped.